are. This is June the 24th, 2018, The Prophet's Corner Uncut, and this is a psalm. It's called A New Day, A New Hour. It's a new day and a new hour, a church arising full of Holy Ghost power. This mighty church will not back down. They stand tall and keep their crown. God is the changing of the guards. I've had a word called that. The changing of the guards are people that God has been grooming for years. They've been in the background, unseen, forsaken by the establishment. But God is fixing to raise them up because they've passed the test. They've learned to humble themselves before God. They've learned to, they find out there's nothing in themselves, but it's all in Him. They're sold out. Let me start this over. It's a new day and a new hour, a church arising full of Holy Ghost power. This mighty church will not back down. They stand tall and keep their crown. Yes, the crown of victory is on their heads because I have risen from the dead. It's not by their own promotion or their own merit. They will walk by my spirit, moving on my orders as they hear it. Nothing will cause them to turn back. They are fully armed and have no lack. A new breed like the world has never seen before. They are not afraid to walk through the open door. Yes, a door of opportunity, of things not seen by faith, they will glean. There will be no fear here. All my benefits they hold dear. This is how they will walk and talk, and their enemy won't be able to mock. This great power that stands the test and causes my church to be at rest. They've put that bully in his place, and they will complete and win their race. The Lord said to me, do it afraid. The Lord's been speaking to this about all week, about do it afraid. There's nothing to fear but fear itself. Satan's modus operandi is fear. Fear is a deterrent. What is it the deterrent of? It's to keep you from moving forward. It's to keep you from walking in healing. It's to keep you from walking in prosperity. It's to keep you from obeying God's will. Fear. Time to put the bully in his place. What has stopped us? The bully. I hear that little midget going, ooby bully, bully. I used to say it. Here's what a bully is. One that is habitually cruel to others who are weaker. To use browbeating language or behavior. Satan is a bully. He tries to bully us through fear. Fear is a spirit. That's what the Lord, through the music this morning, the Lord's been speaking to me all week about fear. This is what He uses to push your buttons. Fear. But it is a spirit. And you don't have a spirit of fear. It's coming from the outside. It's not in you. It's coming from the outside. It sure feels it, but it's not in you. It's coming from the outside. And we have to resist. The Lord spoke to me personally, dealing with certain areas. He said, you have some fear in this area. And He said, if you have to, just do it afraid. Now, there's a little book by Joyce Meyer. I ordered everyone one of those little books. It'll be in a couple weeks. It's a mini book. Many years ago, she wrote. She knew about a lady that had gotten so paranoid about things, she just didn't go outside her house. And then one day the Lord spoke to her and said, then do it afraid. See, don't let fear be the deterrent. It's like whatever the fear is coming against you in, don't let it stop you. Because that's what it's there for, whatever form it comes in. It's there to deter you. From what? God's plan. God's will. What's God's will? Well, to be in health and prosper. That's God's will, as your soul prospers. So you see here, this is where the battlefield is in the mind. Another one of her books, Battlefield of the Mind. This is where it goes on, right here. But I feel it in my body. But it's here. This is where it starts. Fear. Okay, we're going to look at this. First Samuel. Chapter 17. In Gideon's army, he sent the 33,000 or however many, except for the 300. He sent them home. He sent everybody that was fearful home. Now, fear feels real, but there's no fear in you. And you have to speak to fear. Or it is a spirit. You can't medicate fear. You've got to speak to that fear as the Lord gives you the proper weapon to use, proper word. Okay, 1 Samuel 17. Now, the Philistines gathered their armies for battle and were assembled at Socoh, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Socoh and Azekah and Enphis-Damon. Saul and the men of Israel were encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side. Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with the valley between them. And a champion went out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of mail, and the coat weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. He had bronze shin armor on his legs and a bronze javelin across his shoulders. And the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. His spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and a shield bearer went before him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? Are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistines said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Okay, it's talking about David here. We're going to skip over. David, his dad sends him loaded with stuff to his brothers to the battle. Okay, and now, 22. David left his packages in the care of the baggage keeper and ran into the ranks and came and greeted his brothers. As they talked, behold, Goliath the champion, the Philistine of Gath, came forth from the Philistine ranks and spoke the same words as before, and David heard him. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him terrified. And the Israelites said, "Have you seen this man who has come out? Surely he has come out to defy Israel. And the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and make his father's house free from taxes, service in Israel." And David said to the men standing by, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the men told him, "Thus shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard what he said to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why did you come here? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and evenness of heart, for you came down that you might see the battle." Here David was not a self-promoter. David said, "What have I done now? Like, God, I never can get a break from these people. Was it not a harmless question?" David turned away from Eliab to another, and he asked the same question, and again the man gave him the same answer. When David's words were heard, they were repeated to Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of this Philistine. Your servant will go out and fight with him." He was fearless. How come? We'll see. Saul said to David, "You are not able to go to fight against this Philistine. You're only an adolescent, and he has been a warrior from his youth." See, yeah, credentials. Warrior from his youth. And David said to Saul, "Your servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion," or again a bear, "and took a lamb out of the flock. I went out after it and smote it and delivered the lamb out of its mouth. When it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and smote it and killed it. Your servant killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he's defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the bear." He didn't say, "Look what I've done." He's saying, "Look what God did." David said, the Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the lion, now the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. You could say that's being armed with the stuff of the world to try to beat, to fight your battles. And David girded his sword over his armor. Then he tried to go, but he could not, for he was not used to it. I don't know how many months the Lord had us on getting used to following the Spirit and doing it God's way as opposed to how we've always done it. For he was not used to it. We need to get used to walking in the Spirit, listening to God tell us what to do. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I'm not used to them. And David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag, in his pouch, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near to David, the man who bore the shield going before him. And when the Philistine looked around and saw David, he scorned and despised him, for he was but an adolescent with a healthy reddish color and a fair face. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you should come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. So he, fear tactics. That bully, big bully, come out there and started intimidating him with words. Thinking about the Democrats. They had become so nasty. I said, God, could it be any worse? They are so nasty, and the things they say are so defiled. Mm-hmm. People are just stepping back like, whoa! Could you ever dream that it would ever have gotten this bad? And the Philistine said to David, okay, 44. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh of the birds of the air and the beast of the field. You know what really gets me about it, though? Is they can try to trick President Trump and God will give him a move and they are falling all over themselves. It is just amazing. I'm going, Lord, you are so truly with that man. And he's defeating them. They're coming down like a house of cards. They're doing everything in their can, pulling every arsenal out to do whatever they need to do. But God has empowered David to kill the Philistine. Then said David to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the ranks of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you and cut off your head. He was fearless. He did not buckle in the face of fear. He did it afraid. You think for a minute that the spirit of fear didn't come against David? I believe it would be silly to think that it didn't. That was what the intimidation was about. It was that spirit of fear bombarding him. He thought, I'm just going to do it afraid. This day the Lord will deliver me into my hand, you into my hand. I will smite you and cut off your head, and I will give the corpses of the army of the Philistines the state of the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. When the Philistine came forward to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand into a bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine. You know that stone? Jesus is the rock. Knocked him flat on his puss. David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck down the Philistine and slew him, but no sword was in David's hand. And he ran into the door of the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their mighty champion was dead, they fled. Sometimes you just have to do it afraid. That's what the Lord spoke to me this week. Just do it afraid. But don't let the fear keep you from doing it. That's what fear is. It's a deterrent to keep you from progressing on and doing what God's told you to do. Okay. Stop giving in to the bully. His method is fear. Fear not. I don't know if this is true, but I've heard people say it, that there's 365 fear nots in the Bible, one for every day of the week. Or every day of the year, not week, but year. Do it afraid. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, which means timidity. So when the giant comes and presents something, you draw back. So that's what happened with Saul and his armies. It said they run for the foxhole. When the giant came out, they ran and they hid. What did David do? He ran towards it. He did it afraid. And he won. Okay, let's look at Hebrews 13:6. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. Amplified says, I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? That big, nearly 10-foot tall giant could not do anything against a man that had no fear. Yep. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. Did you know dread is fear? Okay. But full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment, and so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's complete perfection. We love him because he first loved us. So what's he saying here? When we have a recognition of God's love, then we have a recognition of his complete parentage over us. In other words, there's not anything that we have to be afraid that he won't supply and he won't do for us because of God's love in us. Not our love. I'm not talking about human love, which we have the love of God in us by the Spirit. It's been placed in us. So we're not talking about our love towards anybody or anything. We're talking about the recognition of God's love. God's love cast out fear. When you're secure in God, David could cast out fear and go forward because he knew God had provided before and God would do it again. God was faithful. He would continue to be faithful. When angels of God show up, what do they say? Always. Fear not, because they usually have a message from God. And if you fear, you can keep that message from coming forth. What did he say when Jesus came? The angel said, fear not. I bring you tidings of great joy. All right, fear not. That says God loves you, no harm to you, God's goodness to you. No fear here. No fear here. I would say the biggest enemy that we have to our faith is fear. Now, it's not the opposite of fear. Love is the opposite of fear. Perfect love casts out fear. So when you know God loves you and you've seen him perform over and over and over again, then you can just step right up to the plate and just be assured. He's going to see you through. But don't let fear stop you. If you have to, you may be shaking in your boots. Do it afraid.